Hello, this is Space Kate on a balmy evening here in Toulouse. The moon is shining above us, and I'm here especially for the ATV3 tweet-up, because this evening is a very important evening. The ATV module is going to be catching up with the International Space Station and docking with it. And I thought it was about time we found out a little bit more about ATV, and it just so happens that this lovely place that's hosting us, CNES, which is the French space agency, I've bumped into somebody called Sylvain Michel, and you have a long history of working with ATV.
Yes, I used to be an ATV specialist, so-called, for ATV1, called Jules Verne. I was in charge of sending telecommands and checking onboard telemetry throughout the flight. But before this first flight, there was a five-year-long preparation for me, but it was even longer for many other people. But when I came in the project in 2003, there was no computer in the ATVCC room. Everything was to be invented in a way, not on board, but on ground in the control center. And I was very glad to be part of it.
That sounds like quite an exciting time. I never know who is listening to these. It could be anybody, there could be space geeks like me, or there could be people who have just come across it and they wonder what's going on. So I think let's start right at the beginning. Let's start with ATV. Space stuff is always to do with acronyms. So let's start with bashing down the acronym. What does it stand for and what actually is it?
That's a good acronym because first it meant something and then it meant something else. So the first meaning was Ariane 5 launch, Ariane 5 transfer vehicle. But then they chose to change Ariane 5, which sounded maybe too specific, to automated. And then this small adjective, automated, means a lot about what kind of satellite ATV is. That's a very automated satellite, the goal of which is to bring fuel, to bring what we call dry mass, that is to say clothes, food, water for astronauts, to the ISS, right? So that's the first goal of the ATV.
So it's basically a transport vehicle, yeah, just delivery. It's kind of like a very, very technical milk float. It delivers you your milk, well, and your clothes, and your fuel, and your water, but in space.
That's also a fuel station. And that's also a waste cargo, because once the astronaut took everything in it, then they fill it with their waste. So no need to enter into more details.
And what happens then? Do you just let it disappear off into space? Does it come back to Earth? Does it get collected? Does it burn up in the atmosphere? What do you do with this? What do you do with space waste?
It burns up in the atmosphere, like for the Mir station, in a very controlled way. So we are targeting a given area on Earth, the most uninhabited area on Earth, which is situated in the South Pacific Ocean. And we target this area. We know that less than 30% of the total mass of ATV, that is to say a few tons, reach the ocean in small pieces of 10 kilograms up to 100 kilograms.
But it's still not something you'd want to hit you on the head.
No, there is no one in that area. In your daily life, there is no one. But of course, ESA is warning local governments and authorities, and they trigger dedicated plan so that every boat, every planes are aware they can't travel in that area during a few hours. So that's very controlled.
And this evening we're all gathered here, which is, it's really lovely that CNES is hosting us, and we've had some really interesting talks already. But the big event is in a few hours' time, when the ATV actually docks with the space station. So how does that actually work? Because I know that different modules have different ways of kind of connecting with the space station. Some need to be grappled with the robotic arm. Yeah. This one, you say, is automated. Yes. Does it just do it itself, or do the astronauts actually have to do something clever up there.
Yeah, it does it itself, and that's why it's so much complicated. ATV could even dock to an uninhabited station. We don't perforce need the crew. Because thanks to optical devices, very sophisticated ones, ATV is able to pilot with a very high accuracy and to dock to the space station within a cone of less than 10 centimeters. That means that the probe, the ATV probe, which is 1 meter long, will target the ISS docking port with an accuracy better than 10 centimeters. And for the first flight, it was even better than 2 euro coins. Translate in dollar, I don't know. One quarter, maybe.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I mean, you wouldn't want something like as big and heavy as the ATV actually crashing into the space station. I mean, just this last week, the crew had to kind of hide out in their Soyuz capsules, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Because there was a potential that a piece of debris was coming close. So, I mean, do they worry about it? Do they keep an eye on it to check that it doesn't hit them? Or is there some clever system that slows it down? Yeah, I mean, how do you slow it down enough that it doesn't just shunt the station?
Yeah, the ATV slows down thanks to thrusters. It has many thrusters on board, which allow the ATV to go as slow as 7 centimeters per second in the very last meters. So that's very small. And if it would touch the station, but it will never, it would be like 1.5 kilometer per hour bump of a car, of a 1-ton car. So you see that's a very small energy involved. Even if it's a big thing, it's going so smoothly in the last meters that the shock when it ducks, is really smooth. The astronauts don't even feel it, I think. But they do keep an eye on it, because even if ATV has a very high level of self-redundancy and self-safeguard in a way, with the different computers on board doing the same thing at the same time, but with different algorithms and voting their results so that no unwanted behavior is done on board. There is still, as the fourth or even a fifth layer of security, the crew. After the ATVCC being the fourth one, and the three first one being embarked on board on different computers with different actuators, different sensors.
It's really quite incredible if you think about the fact that the International Space Station is traveling at around 17,500 miles per hour, and then you send something up there on an Ariane 5 rocket, and it has to somehow find the station that's moving at, 5 miles a second, and then reach it, catch up with it, and dock with it without causing any trouble. That must be quite... I mean, were you nervous when the first one went up and when it was about to dock?
Nervous is not the correct word. I was almost dead. No, that was so emotional. But, well, it worked. It worked really fine once, twice, and in a few hours for 3 times. So that's very, very good, very innovative and fine working technology. And we can be, as Europeans, proud of it. And speaking on a more global view, think the mankind, because it's about international cooperation. The Europeans develop ATV, but with cooperation with the Russian, with the American, of course. And it's a really beautiful technological product. And I hope it will enable mankind to go to Mars and or to the Moon in the next centuries.
Well, we shall hopefully be raising a glass of congratulations to the ATV3 docking successfully in a few hours' time. And I think we should also raise our glass to CNES for hosting us, ESA for being nice for doing tweet-ups, and just space in general, because everybody here loves it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.